We are going to repeat the same topic as the previous speaker. Fortunately, and we are going to look at the same question from different perspectives. And if you pay attention, probably you realize that in recent 10 years, we are experiencing more frequent natural disasters, including hurricanes, earthquakes, and extreme hot and cold weathers, flooding, severe drought. And it is clear to us that the nature is calling for us to do something to tackle the climate change. In terms of agriculture, there are at least four practical potential approaches that we can use to offset our carbon footprint. First one, it is bioenergy production and application. The second is conservation tillage to increase the organic carbon storage. The third one would be reforestation to capture carbon dioxide as the wood materials. The fourth one would be the biochar application. In probably the recent 5 years, and biochar is getting more and more popular, the soil amendment. Actually, the more important driving force in this application, it is carbon stability. We believe that biochar is stable once we apply the biochar to the soil, and it will remain in the environment for hundreds or even thousands of years. But in a human scale, it is not possible for us to examine or to observe its actual stability. And through research, we also know that the quality or characteristics of biochar from different sources, including different feedstock types and different process conditions, they are quite different. Therefore, we have to bring up the questions. Are all biochars are identical in terms of carbon stability? And if they are not very stable as we imagined, and how fast and they will be mineralized or oxidized in soil after application? And what is the long-term effect in terms of the biochar carbon mineralization and decomposition? Therefore, we initiated some preliminary studies to look at the carbon stability of different feedstocks and different generation conditions using chemical evaluation methods. And also, we want to know the biochar carbon recalcitrance or stability against the soil mineralization after the soil incorporation, and also try to investigate the potential chemical transformation over a long run after we apply biochar into the soil. So we collected three types of agricultural byproducts: pottery litter, waste wood, and wheat straw. This represents three typical types of organic waste you can find on local farms. These three feedstocks, the pottery litter contains about 28.5% of mineral ash, and waste wood only 1.4% of the mineral ash, and waste straw is slightly higher, 3.6%. And organic carbon content per liter is about 35.5%, and waste wood is 53.6%, and waste straw is slightly lower, is 51.3%. And here I highlighted the ash content because I really want you know to memorize or to pay attention the ash components. If you couldn't remember those exact numbers, just remember that pottery litter contains the highest ash components, then come to waste straw, and then to waste wood. Those feedstocks were transformed into biochar through low temperature, slow pyrolysis. Typically speaking, we use a marble furnace and we packed those biochar, those feedstocks in metal containers and pyrolyzed them at 300 to 600 temperatures with 50 degrees C temperature increments. Here, we didn't control the reaction time, and all the pyrolysis was complete, indicated by the total termination of visible smoke emission from the containers. So only the pyrolysis temperature mattered. Then the biochar was characterized for different characteristics, including, you know, yield, H content, organic carbon content, the carbon stability, extractable organic carbon, and even the FTIR spectroscopic characteristics. And then the biochar generated at 400 degrees C from wheat straw was grinded to less than 2 millimeters and mixed with sandy loam soil. Here, the nitrogen was added to try to promote the growth of microorganisms. And the mulch content was adjusted to 10%. And then the mixtures were incubated at 30 degrees C for 2 years. It's 24 months. We believe 30 degrees C is an optimal temperature for microbial to grow, microorganisms to grow. And then the soils were sampled regularly, air dried, ground to less than 0.15 millimeters, and analyzed for total organic carbon content, extractable organic carbon content, and FTIR and NMR characteristics. And this graph shows shows the biochar yield and the function of pyrolysis temperature. And if you look at the portulaca char represented by the black bars and the green bars represent the wheat straw biochar and the red bars represent the wheatwood biochars. And all three types of feedstocks, the biochar yield decreased as increasing the pyrolysis temperature. The portulaca biochar demonstrated a yield within 46 to 60% of the feedstock biomass. And the waste wood is relatively lower, it's around 26 to 37%, and the wheat straw char had a yield is around 29 to 45%. And if you look at the ash contents, you will also realize that the ash contents of the different biochars increased with the increase in the pyrolysis temperature. And for the portulaca biochars, the ash content ranged from 48 to 61%. This here is the biochar biomass, not the feedstock biomass. And the wheat straw biochars had an ash content around 8.7 to 20.2%. And the wheat wood biochars had a relatively low ash content, ranging from 3.6 to 5.4%. The biochar organic carbon content, once again, with increasing the pyrolysis temperature and the portulaca biochars decreased in organic carbon content, and while the waste wood and wheat straw biochars increased with the pyrolysis temperature. And you can tell that the waste wood biochar has the highest organic carbon content, then followed by the wheat straw, and then you have portulaca biochars. The stable organic carbon content We use the traditional acidic dichromate oxidation method, which is the method used for determining soil organic matter content. That method would oxidize all raw organic carbon. And even for soil organic matter, it will oxidize up to 75% of the soil organic matter. Therefore, and we treat any organic carbon in the biochar that cannot be oxidized by that method, and we build a stable organic carbon. And you can see that with increasing of the biological temperature and the organic stable organic carbon in the pot leader increased, and same thing applied to the wheat straw biochar and wood biochar. And in terms of the portion of the stable organic carbon in the overall biochar, and with increasing the pellet temperature and the portion of stable organic carbon increased, and for the wood biochar is more than 94% of the carbon was stable. And when the biochars were extracted with 0.1 molar sodium hydroxide solution for 5 days with 5 batches of additional added the extraction solution, and you can demonstrate with the increasing the pellet temperature, the extractable organic matter in the biochar decreased significantly. And in terms of the feedstock organic matter recovery, and with increasing the pellet temperature, and the feedstock organic carbon recovery decreased gradually. But if you look at the feedstock organic carbon recovery in terms of the stable biochar carbon, and you show it shows a different story. And for the poultry leader biochar, and it maximized at 500 degrees C pellet temperature, and for the wheat straw biochar, it's maximized at 350, but for the wood biochar, it's maximized at 300 degrees C. And here, the ATR, FTR spectrum of the polyester biochar shows that with increasing the pellet temperature, and you will have increasing the aromatic carbon and decreasing with the aliphatic carbon, and also with decreasing with the carboxylic and also hydroxyl groups. And the same thing applied to the waste wood biochar and also for the waste straw biochars. And with the 22 months of incubation at 30 degrees C, and you see a clear trend of the gradual decreasing with the soil organic carbon in the waste wood, waste straw biochar amended soil, and also the raw with straw amended soil, and this is the control. And if we remove the original soil organic matter mineralization from the whole picture and only look at the mineralization of the biochar and the raw with straw, and you can see the biochar carbon was mineralized very slowly, and using a first degree decay model, and you come out with this kind of like a equation. It tells that around 85% of the biochar carbon is permanently stable and will stay in the soil forever. But however, there's still about 15% of the carbon was subject to mineralization, and the half time of the biochar unstable carbon is 16.3 months. But if you look at the raw wheat straw, and once again, there will be a certain portion of the carbon will be transformed into humic substances and be relatively stable. But around 80% of the raw feedstock organic carbon will be oxidized quickly, and the half lifetime is only about 1.6 months at that temperature and conditions. And the FGR spectrum, and we didn't detect significant difference in terms of the functional group changes. Only about at this wave numbers, you see slightly changes. So just to summarize that, not all biochars are the same. So the biochar stability and varies with the source and with the stock, feedstock type and with the parasite conditions. And typically, if a feedstock has high ash content, typically it requires a higher parasite temperature to maximize the stable portion of the carbon. And also mineralization or oxidation of biochar carbon in soil is very slow, around 85 to 95% of the carbon typically decomposable and will remain in the soil forever, depends on the parasite temperature. There is a certain portion of the labile carbon, but that still is about 10 times stable than the raw organic matter. And the slow transmission of biochar carbon and just result in very insignificant functional changes, so which is not identifiable in our experimental period. Thank you so much.